Blog Talk Radio.
Good night, or good night. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us. This is PGN Tuesday evening. It is 12:21. Thank you for joining us, and I hope everyone's having a good week as we are getting closer and closer to celebrating Christmas with our loved ones and our families. And I pray that your hearts will be blessed and the peace of God and shalom of God would be with you, to surround you and to encourage you and to inhabit your place, your dwelling places. So let's just thank the Lord. I just wanted to come on this evening. You know, we have grown children, so I'm a pretty efficient person. So I spent most of the day cleaning and doing things, and then tomorrow I have some other things to wrap up as well as far as preparing for the next few days. So bless you in Jesus' name. And so I just wanted to share just a little something here, knowing it would probably be a short session this evening. However, I did want to bring this here this evening. First, I want to read in Psalm 21, being today it's the 21st, it says, O Lord, the King will delight in your strength and in your salvation. How greatly will he rejoice? You have given him his heart's desire, and you will not withhold the request of his lips. For you met him with blessings and good things, and you and a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of you, and you gave it to him, long life forevermore. His glory is great because of your victory, splendor, and majesty you bestowed upon him. For you make him most blessed, a blessing forever, and you make him joyful with joy of your presence. The king of confidence trusts in the Lord, and though the loving kindness, faithfulness, and goodness of the Most High will never be shaken, your hand will reach out and defeat all your enemies. Your right hand will reach to those who hate you. And that's just stop at 7. And then going down to 13, it says, be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. You will sing and praise your power. And so that is a little paradoxical where it goes back and forth between. But that's how they did pray. And the patriarchs prayed and wrote the Psalms and even sang Psalms in such a manner, knowing that we go through battles. And the Israelites certainly did, and so do we. And so, and even the number 21, because I realized I'm going to read from Luke 2. So what happened, I was at a theater play, you know, Christmas play, and they brought out the baby Jesus and they were praying over him. And they gave this abbreviated version of Simeon who prayed over Jesus and the words that were prophesied over him. But it was abbreviated. And my heart just kind of leaped and thought, wait a minute. I need to go read this. And I want to look at this being a prophetic place and a prophetic house and a prophetic hour and things even being paradoxical right now. I want to read what Simeon prophesied over Jesus and what Anna prophesied and prayed over Jesus. And so that was an acceptable word of the Lord that it is canonized in Scripture. Yes? And so these aren't even just prophetic words. They are literally prayers, prophetic prayers, and which I thought was interesting because that is what we do here as well. So in Luke, so the number 21, so Luke 2, but it starts in verse 21. So I realized today being 12:21, when we're starting in Luke 2:21, I should revisit the number 21, which is exceedingly sinful. So it's Jeroboam of Nebat made Israel to sin, okay? But it also has a dual meaning. So it's paradoxical, which I thought was very interesting because this whole word that's coming forth tonight is really paradoxical. And so in Daniel 10:13, they also give a reference to the number 21. And a lot of times it can connote both a negative or a positive, okay? And a lot of the symbolism in Scripture, not all, but some, you know, just like if you had a dream, you would have to take the context of the dream. Was it like negative and heavy, or was it good, you know? This is how you determine some of the direction as well when you're looking at symbolism. So this number, the flip side of this is Daniel 10:13. It says, your plans will succeed. So it's interesting, even in reading about the birth of Jesus and what was prophesied over him, many were sinning in Israel, right? That's why he came, is because there was so much sin. And then yet, the paradoxical side of it is that your plans will succeed. Jesus's plans were going to succeed, and he was going to have the victory and to break through. So let's read this here, because, and Psalm 21, okay, the last verse, be exalted, O Lord, in your strength, and we will sing praise of your power. Amen. Thank you, God, for hovering over your people, God, for shielding them with your protection and with your watchful eye and heart. God, we thank you for your favor and your blessing of life, where you are the light of life and the life of man, God. And we thank you, Lord, and we receive it, and we speak it over even our own physical bodies, our spiritual lives, Lord, body, soul, and spirit, our family, our children's children and our children's children's children, our generations, God, we speak life to them and your power, God, and we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Okay, let's read here in Luke 2, 21 through 40. Okay, so let me get this here. I think I'm going to read, I'm going to just go ahead and read in the, let me go back here. And I go ahead and just read on my paper, which happens to be the New Living Translation, which isn't a common one I read, but somehow this landed on my paper, so this is what we're going with. Thank you, Lord. Verse 21 in Luke 2. And you all might read this Christmas morning. I know we read this Christmas morning sometimes, and it was a delight to gather around and to be one and united in the Word. So may it be so here. In Jesus' name. Okay. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus. The name given to him by an angel even before he was conceived. Then it was time for the purification offering as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child, which was 40 days. That's not written there, but that's what that was. His parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So the law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice requirements of the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So there's a few things happening here. So the purification is 40 days after she would have given birth to him. And then also the law, so she was to go for the purification. She's going to also go for the dedication of her son, is why she was bringing him there. And they were to bring an offering. This was a sacrifice requirement under the law. Okay, right? So Jesus already, because of his parents' obedience and faithfulness, is fulfilling the law. And he's actually using his parents to fulfill the law. So here comes the prophecy of Simeon. So let's look at this, verse 25. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. So he was Jewish. And let me tell you, friends, this is in the book of Luke. Luke, his original readers were Greek. And this is why this is so incredible. And actually, even as I read, I just even anointed in some ways of what he said and spoke and prayed over Jesus. So the original readers that Luke was writing to were Greeks. Simeon in Jerusalem, okay, he was Jewish. He was a righteous and devout. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So the one word had already came to him, which was that in verse 26, that the Lord had already revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Okay, and so the Lord does speak this way. He has maybe spoke to you in this way before. So, and this is part of actually, okay, let me just go here. Verse 27, that day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, again fulfilled, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God. Okay, so he was led by the Holy Spirit a few times here. The Holy Spirit was upon him. He was led by the Holy Spirit. This very much reminds me, I'll come back to that, I'm sorry, getting a hold of myself, but part of this is part of our, okay, so let me just go. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, verse 29, Sovereign Lord. Wow, you see, he's got this child in his arms, and he's saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace. You, as you have promised. Okay, so he's talking to the Lord. Hold on. I have seen your salvation. Wow, that is the eyes of faith right there. Okay, holding this child in his heart, what is happening and saying, I have seen your salvation. He is seeing it complete and finished and is receiving it, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to all nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. So here's the anointed part to me, is that he's a Jewish man, and he's saying that God, just like in John 8:12, he is the light of the world to all nations, for all people. But he is going to be the glory of the people of Israel. That's why he came. That is such an anointed word right there, and that is so prevalent. And, you know, may the eyes of those in Israel who have yet to call Jesus their Messiah be opened, right? Yes, amen. So verse 33, Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said to him. Then Simeon blessed them. Okay, this is a prophetic prayer. This is really the nature of what we do here as well. And he said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your very soul. And he's telling Mary this. This is a hard word, man, after what they had just said. This is paradoxical in its effect and in its word. And did it come to pass? Yes, absolutely. Is it still even being fulfilled? In some ways, not in just Jesus' life, but to his followers, I feel, yes, this is true, right? And so, you know, some believe that, but listen, the shaping, even a shaping of the word, that the sword will pierce your very soul. But she's seen him at the foot of the cross, and the sword pierced his side. Okay, when it happened, that it pierced her soul as well. So to get a picture of the fulfillment of it and the words that were spoken, okay, because that was a prophetic word right there. It was very, very directive in what he said, what was encapsulated or canonized in scripture, right? So then we see in verse 36, Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel. That's how you say it, P-H-A-N-U-A-L. Phanuel, actually, which doesn't that sound a lot like Emmanuel or Samuel? Phanuel means face of God. That's what her, and the tribe of Asher. So the tribe of Asher was Jacob's, from Jacob's sons was the tribe of Asher. And they were a prosperous people. And she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow at the age of 84. So we get a lot of details about her. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. So we know that she's a prophetess. this Living Translation says prophet. She's a prophetess. So it's going to give us some description about what becomes of a prophetess, right? There's fasting and prayer. There's worshiping. Okay, so, and she may have been, because it says she stayed there day and night. I don't know if that was literal, but part of the Levite's job was there was actually housing at the temple where they slept there. It was very minimal and very, you know, nothing elaborate or anything, because they had so much work to do and the ordinances and with the law and helping the people that they actually stayed there. So I don't know if she would have had a place to stay there, if that's what it meant, or if, you know, it was more, this is basically what her job was, that she spent her days and her nights at the temple. Okay, verse 38. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph. It doesn't tell us anything more than that. It doesn't say that she's seen them at a distance. It doesn't say that she tapped him on the shoulder and whispered in his ear, hey, I have a word that I need to bring forth. Is it okay with you? Okay, it doesn't tell us anything about that, okay, or anything about they just both happened to be there, which I believe was the Holy Spirit upon both of them, or how he leads us, right, and receives us. And also, you know, person of prayer and devout people, right, just like both of these people, this is part of our priestly identity, is that when heaven and earth meet, we step into that. And we see this happening right here at the inception of Jesus's birth, you know, that we are being called into, as the New Testament gets played out, we are being called into our priestly identity. And you can see that, and I talked about that a little bit in September, and I talked about it even before that as well, earlier in the year, about our priestly identity, priestly anointing, or however you want to say that, but I know I verbiaged it, identity, in September. But anytime you see where heaven and earth meet, this is part of, we need to glean what's happening there and take that, because we are to get closer and closer and closer to God. That's what the priestly people did. They got closer to God, right? They cleansed those who were unclean, and then those who became closer to God, and then they became holy, right? And then when Jesus came, he started with the outcast. He did the same thing, right? We're following him. And then we get closer and closer to God through our walk as well, as he calls us in. And even at his, here, even in the temple and those that he's called, now these people that called when he was born, these people are not, you know, they're not the legislated people of the land, you know, and they're just people who are already serving the Lord in prayer and in worship and in fasting, right, and in praising God, you know, and the Spirit of the Lord comes upon them. And this reminds me, even both with Simeon and Anna, it reminds me of Acts 1:8, where it says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. You know, and it talks about Samaria, Judea, and Jerusalem, but to the ends of the earth. So then she comes along, back to verse 38. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph. So actually, he literally had been done, right? He was talking with them, so he had been done praying and prophesying and speaking to them. This paradoxical word, really great word. They pondered it. They were amazed by it. And then also a hard word in the same word. And she began praising God. Okay, that's what it says here in this, what did I say this was, the Living Translation. And some other versions it says she thanked God. Because where the difference was is that in some other versions it says that Simeon praised God, but Anna thanked God, which is interesting to me because thanking God in scripture and in prayer, that actually is very a priestly thing, and she would have known the word. And thanking God, like that would have been very much in order and very much someone who knew the word. Not that he didn't, but she would have been very, very familiar with that. And so she talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. Okay, so as soon as she heard and she thanked God, she began to witness, or she began to evangelize to others who were waiting for the Messiah, the spoken Messiah. Many of the Jews knew this in the city. They were waiting for it. It has been spoken over. I mean, very much their lives are very traditions, right? If you have traditions this time of year, you know, how long have they been going on? They're very traditions with their family, very ceremonial. They had festivals and feasts and requirements even to gather together as a community to do, you know, with Passover and the four feasts that they had during the year. So the Passover was the most important one that, like, people didn't miss, you know, kind of like Easter mainly, you know, there'll be a lot of people show up for that because they don't want to miss Easter, just as a reference. So here it says, let me just read this little note on her. It says, unlike Simeon, okay, in Anna's encounter, unlike Simeon, her direct speech is narrated, yet it is powerful. So why Simeon's speech of a larger and later context of the child, so he's speaking both to the Gentiles and to Israel, Anna evangelizes immediately and selectively to those looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So she was mostly speaking to the Jews, which would make sense if she was in the temple, right? She and Simeon join others in Luke's gospel to recognize the child's great significance and wide import. Okay, right? So that wasn't the first time that Mary received a prophetic word regarding her child. It would have been at the time of her birth her pregnancy, when she's seen Elizabeth, right? Elizabeth prophesied, and so did actually John in her womb. He leaped. John leaped in Elizabeth's womb when Jesus came near. That is incredibly profound, incredibly significant. Now, when we see his life aboard and moving forward and all that happens, so her actions actually affirm Amos 3:7, which is, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plans to his servants, the prophets. And again, I just want to highlight that this word, this prophetic word that was received, canonized, and brought forth by both Simeon and Anna was paradoxical, was received of the Lord, okay? And it was, it blessed the Lord, okay? And it was, says here, there's another note here that says, because in Luke 2:36 it says, and there was a prophetess named Anna. So Anna is among only a handful of women in the Bible bearing the title prophetess. Okay, but that's not the part I wanted to read, okay? It was a part where they were saying, she was actually given the title for in the, okay, here it is. Anna is the New Testament only named female prophetess. Luke gives her father's name, Phanuel, but not her husband's. He mentions her tribe, Asher. As such, she numbers among the New Testament characters with tribal listings. Others include Jesus. Okay, so this didn't happen very often where they gave, and I didn't have enough time to actually research how this was, right? But it says, others include Jesus of the house and the lineage of David and the tribe of Judah and Saul of Benjamin and Barnabas, a Levite. Okay, so where it actually talks about, and there's some significance there, and it would have been for the reader, because we know in the Greek and the New Testament, everything was written in order, and in a, like, order was everything in the Greek. Okay, so the pen and paper were very expensive, hence why they found the scrolls and them writing on, you know, animal skins and stuff. Okay, so pen and paper was expensive, so order would have been everything, and they would have been influenced under the Holy Spirit. So it was important that they did that, that they captured all of that, saying, like, this absolutely would have been the case. there's no mistake in the identity of this person and where they came from and where their connection was and where they lived, where they came from and where they lived, okay? Because in that area, as we know, when you read about Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, they wanted to know where people came from. Like they wanted to know these areas, where they lived and where they came from. Believe it or not, it mattered to them. So, okay, let me make sure I covered everything. So some of the things I see here too is the words between Simeon and Anna were seamlessly given. They were seamlessly giving, but they're working together from the heart of God and the Spirit of God. Okay, it doesn't say anything else. Okay, they were just seamlessly given side by side and in tandem and worked together. Again, I think the flip side of this coin, I hate to use that expression, but the flip side of this would be there was no rivalry either. Okay, so if you read Galatians 5, it talks about warnings about severe sins. And I'm just going to let you look that up yourself so that you can read it. But there was no rivalry happening between them. It was very blessed, very ordained of the Lord. And it's a blessing to read, really, and just to go through and to glean that more and more. And I wish we had more of her words. But we do not, but we do have the action and we do have what we have, right? And it's a blessing. Okay, so for those who would believe in him, they would have to repent and put their trust in him. And the two important revelations are that it is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. Okay, so meaning those who would believe in him and would rise and enter the kingdom, and others would fall, as he would be a stumbling block for those who disbelieved in him, which is a hard word, but also repeated in 1 Corinthians 1:23. Simeon also said that with the sword, her heart or soul would be pierced, which occurred at the cross as Mary had to watch her son die, and Jesus himself would literally be pierced with a sword, which we did talk about that. Let me just say, thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, Father, for this long-awaited word, your long-awaited birth that has come, God, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us, Lord. We thank you for teaching us about your prophets, Lord, about the Holy Spirit coming upon your people and prophesying and praying prophetically. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father God, that nothing would slip, no seed would fall or slip through the cracks in Jesus' name for the lives of the people, God. And I thank you, Lord, that you've named them. God, you've given them their name, Father God, for a reason and for a purpose, Lord, and bring it forth, Lord. Let it spring forth in this season, Father God, even when the ground seems hard or it's a winter season, let the life and the light of God spring forth in their hearts and let them see, Father God, what you're doing in them. In Jesus' name, during this time, God, and we thank you, Lord, for your angels to protect what you're bringing forth, Lord, and to preserve it. In Jesus' name, and we thank you, Lord, again, Lord, and just closing with that prayer in Psalm 121, that be exalted, Lord, in your strength, and we will sing praise of your power and give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's open up the phone lines. Oh, does anyone want prayer? I lost a few people. Okay, that's okay. But I just wanted to speak that forth and bring that here. Just being so close to Christmas and our time together, just to bless you. So if you would, I do have a few people who are dialed in. If you would like prayer, you can raise your hand, and I'd be happy to pray with you and come alongside of you in agreement with your prayer needs as well. We can, okay, I do have one song I think I can play. I had uploaded it before and it didn't play off of, let me see if I can find it here, because I literally did purchase this and do this the valid way, we should say. But I may have taken it down just because it didn't play through when I started it. Okay, I think these are in alphabetical order, so. Oh, no, here it is. Let me see if this will play, because this would be a miracle, and this would be super cool played. If not, I'll do it online. Oh, it says it's missing. Okay, even though I see it right there. Okay, let's do this way. Here we go. Here we go, friends.
Hold on. That is the store to go to. They have so much good gifts to give, from Homestead.
Amen. Amen. We just received that. Okay, if anyone would like prayer, otherwise I'm going to end early. I know it's the 21st. of December, and just thankful to the Lord for this time and just for His majesty, His really a time of miracles. So I just bless you for what you're asking the Lord for, that His grace would be upon that, that He would be just really stand out in ways that you have not seen Him before or understood before. But your wisdom and your knowledge of Him, as Ephesians 1 says, would increase and be ever increasing upon you and your family and your household. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Okay, if you would like prayer, I'm just going to offer it one more time, and then, otherwise I'm going to close early. But you can press 1 on your keypad if you and put your hand up. So, and I know there were callers earlier, so let's just pray for them as well, because I know there are a lot of people who are in need of prayer, and I know prayer lines are also receiving high volumes of calls during this time. So we thank you, Lord, for those who have needs. God, Lord, we thank you, Father God. We just command your blessing upon them. We command your life and your light to be upon them, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, how you hover over things that you want to bring life to. God, so these areas where people are oppressed or have depression and stress and anxiety and darkness, Father God, we ask, Lord, that your spirit would hover over them, God, that you would break through and break free to them, Father God, lifting them, Lord, in Jesus' name, lifting them to you, God, being the lifter of their head, Lord, and the joy of their heart, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for how you reveal yourself by your spirit of truth, Lord, and through your angels who minister unto them, Father. We thank you for the preservation of life, Lord, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for those who need your comfort during the season, who have lost a loved one, God, or who are, you know, may have to pay a hospital visit during this time, this week. Lord, we ask for your comfort and encouragement to be with them, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that they would have the needed conversations, Lord, by your courage. You would strengthen them by your grace and give them the understanding that they have need of, Lord, in the wisdom and every provision, Father, that they need. Lord, we ask for your wisdom of provision, Lord, in Jesus' name, in their conversations, Lord, and leading to you, Lord, and reaching out and stepping out in places, Lord, that are outside of their box, outside of their nature, Lord. We thank you, God, for a gift. Life is a gift. Lord, it is a gift, Father God, and you truly are sovereign, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, for your covering and your presence, Lord, to comfort people in places and in ways that we do not know how to express in human words, God. And we thank you, Lord, that those who are weary would keep the faith, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, also for those who are in need of decisions, making decisions during this time and transitions and just, changes and decisions, Father. We ask for your wisdom and provision for that as well, God, that you would clearly speak and show them that they would see clearly if the blessing of the Father is upon it with your direction and your wholeness, Lord, that it not be being directed or guided by any work of the flesh in any way, any fulfillment of the flesh, Lord, but it would be being led forth in faith by the Spirit in Jesus' name. We thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. And those who are looking for work, and workplaces, Lord, maybe a new role, God, or promotion, within the workplace, Father. We ask for the favor of God to be upon that, Lord, that you would even make that seamless and that your grace and favor would be upon that, God, and that it would almost seem easy, God, for lack of a better word, but it truly is your grace, Lord. When your grace is on it, it seems, for lack of a better word, almost easy. And sometimes we doubt that or think that we opened that door or we did that, God. But and sometimes we're in awe of your grace that is on it, God. And so we thank you, God, too, for their fortitude of faith that you surround those who are weary, God, that it would not grow, but you would bring them out of that, Lord, and that they would be exalted by your word, Lord. I pray everyone, God, who has any doubt or unbelief, we bind it and rebuke it in Jesus' name. Just rebuke doubt and rebuke unbelief in Jesus' name. We thank you, God. Those that are traveling during this season, God, are being led out. We pray Psalm 121 over them, Lord, that your eye is watchful over them, that you watch their going out and their coming in, God, that you would be with their travels. I pray that those that are listening, which are believers, Lord, that they truly would be a light to those around them, God, that their countenance and their peace and their actions would minister to those around them, God, that they would, you know, publicly pray for their food, and Lord, the husbands would hold the door for their wives, Lord, and just be a symbol of your grace and your light and hope in this world, Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for leading them. Let your Holy Spirit be upon them to lead them every step, God, in Jesus' name. Every step, Father God, every word, Lord, spoken, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, how you direct us even in our travels, how you speak to us when we are out, God. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I pray for those who are in need of hope and those, again, who are also in a place where they need comfort. Lord, that you just consecrate, or all or those that are just desiring, God, consecrate their pillows unto you, Father God, that you would speak to them in dreams, Lord, and teaching them and leading the way, God, and imparting unto them, God, even healing, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for the victory. Thanks be it unto God who causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Caller 847-239. Good evening. Who am I speaking to?
This is Stephanie in Illinois.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good.
Okay, well, thank you for calling. Father, we thank you, Lord, for Stephanie, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. You know, I just remembered something, and I don't know why I overlooked this in the Word, but it says that Anna, actually, I don't know, maybe it's not in this New Living Translation, but the other words it says when she began praising God, it says she stepped up. That's what it says in other translations, that she actually stepped up and gave the word. So she's seen Simeon was talking to Mary and Joseph in the temple after Simeon had prayed and gave a prophetic word to Jesus. It says that she stepped up. And so, and I don't know if I've given you this word before, but I was reminded of that word and that just that stepping up and that stepping up and that stepping up. So I thank you, Father God, just for Stephanie stepping up, God, in Jesus' name, Lord. And I thank you, God. And I feel like this is even larger than that as well, like in the house of the Lord for women to be stepping up in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, that those have been praying, God, have been devoted, that have been expectant of you, Lord, have a place to step up, Father God, and to serve you, Lord, and in some places be a voice for you, God, to be hands for you, Father God, and whatever those gifts are, that they are dedicated to the Lord, they were received of the Lord, and it's not like a bold or a, like a, not in some ways it is bold and confidence in him, but in a humble way for all that he chose to do, but not in a pushy, haughty type of anything, but just in a, literally a servant's heart, and even a, like, this is burning in my heart. You know, the Lord has put something in my heart, and it's like it's burning, and it's revved up, you know, and the fire is stoked, you know, and it's ready to go, and now I'm going to step up. So I'm not sure exactly what it is in the in your giftedness that the Lord has you to do, but I just pray that you would step up and in those places, and especially where he has you ready, where you have been devoted to him and praying to him and worshiping and, you know, and even stewarding those things unto him, that he would, like, I just see the fire is ready, you know, like, it's not just getting started and being kindled. The fire is ready and it's stoked and it's like, it's ready. It is ready. So we thank you, Lord, for Stephanie and stepping up, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father. We thank you for your throne of grace and your altar, God, in Jesus' name. We thank you for your altar, God, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for at the altar that he brings, you know, the altar of incense that he brings. It is there's a table there in the center where they would pour, and the incense of the would fill the room, kind of like a cloud, representing the cloud of the presence of the Lord that would lead them. And that they could sense them, him, like, outwardly and see that outwardly, and calling upon that to see him to lead them and to be with them, you know, like he being with them, him in private and in that inner room, and him giving that assurance and confidence. You know, there's a word that says that in quietness and stillness, your confidence is where you gain your confidence. And then going forth from there, you know, and going forth from that stepped up. And so, Lord, we thank you for that, and even just carrying the aroma of Christ. And I don't know what the arena is. Like, some women, I know they're really, really gifted in the marketplace. Like, they can execute a plan. Like, if they say, like, hey, I need to have this done by next year or whatever, you know, or 6 months, they know how to execute it in increments. Okay, it's going to take 6 weeks to do this, 2.5 months to do this, and this, and this. Okay, let's put all this together, put the people in place. I mean, some people are just very, very gifted in so many different ways, you know, to execute things and for the glory of God, you know, and to be efficient and excellent and, you know, innovative. Even those things in the marketplace or however God has gifted you to move forward in the placement of people, even to bring unity, you know, nowadays in the workplace, unity is, you know, huge too. So, Father, I just thank you for Stephanie's life, God. I thank you for her meeting place with you, God, and that she would be, Lord, as she steps up, the aroma of Christ, Lord, because you know, get on her, if you will, that smoke of incense gets on her, God, and she, when she steps up, God, or steps out, whatever her generation would call it, Lord, that they see the fragrance and the aroma of Christ. And the word says that we are the aroma of Christ to those who, and so some of those who are perishing, you know, it is for those that are perishing, and it's sad, but we don't want them to perish, but to give them an opportunity to turn. But some will perish, you know, and even that word was given when Jesus was, you know, prophesied over as a child. You know, it's unfortunate, but we want to say, hey, this is your opportunity. So when they play that reel back in their head, you know, when they meet their maker and, you know, that they know they had an opportunity, you know, and to snatch, you know, the word says to snatch people from the fire and to give them up the opportunity and to speak that kind of truth and boldness to them because you care about their very soul. And some people have that type of giftedness where like, hey, I'm just going to hone in on the truth with a lot of grace right here, but I want you to understand, like, focus in this moment, and we only have a few minutes, but I want you to understand what you're being saved from. And if that's your choice, then I want you to know that you chose that, you know, and I know that's kind of sometimes my personality as well, too. I can do that. I can zero in really quick on the truth, and then because it's a principle type of thing, and then back off, you know. But so, Father, we just thank you for Stephanie, God, and what you're doing in your life. Lord, I just ask that you anoint her feet, Lord, as she steps up, God, that she would have peace, Lord, that she, the peace of the gospel, how beautiful are the feet that bring the gospel, God. So I thank you, Lord, that even as she uses her gifts, Lord, that the gospel is just in, it's just enfolded into it, Lord, even if it's literal or figuratively, but the gospel is seen and known as she steps up and uses her gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, praise God for that.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. How are you doing? Do you have any prayer requests?
For me, I just, like, I really want to be humble because, like the words you're saying are really good, but I just feel like it's hard to receive it in the way I'm supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think I understand because I think I understand. Just, yeah. So I'm just going to pray that you see it with the Lord's perspective and that you're actually being his servant and his vessel and his, you know, I'm not sure what your gifts are and how you serve him, if it involves using your voice, you know, being his spokesperson, you know, that you are, because there's actually a place where you serve the Lord and you move with him where you're actually yet still very surrendered, your soul is very surrendered to him, and inwardly you know that you're following him. And that the Spirit is leading you. And that's why you're speaking it. That's why you're doing it. That's why you're saying it, you know. And even places of where he's already established and affirmed you in, like where you're rooted and grounded, you know, that you can have those conversations with other people because you understand. And you've grown in the wisdom and the knowledge of him, which is found in, and if you could, and then first, I can go there, but you can look in your Bible too, Ephesians 1, and it's 15 through, okay, hold on, let me change my, this I have on the Amplified, and I don't need that. Hold on. I'm just going to change it to the New King James Version. But, okay, so Ephesians 1, I think it starts in verse, 15. I was going to say 9. So 9 through 22, which is the latter part of it. Okay, so verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which is worked in Christ, when he is raised from the dead and seated at the right hand far above all principality, power, mighty dominion, and every name that is named, and not only in this age, but also in the world to come. So, and he's put all things under his feet as he is the head over the church. So it really is growing, and I know that I am as well growing in the spirit of the wisdom of revelation and the knowledge of him. I mean, I know I even prayed that today in a conversation that I had with the Lord, you know, and your eyes being enlightened with understanding so that we can see it the way he sees it, so we can perceive it the way he perceives it, and that is that transformation or the renewing of our mind is, and when we, then there's like this realization or this switch, if you will, that happens where you realize, hey, if I go do that, yeah, I'm doing it in faith. And there's part of me in my flesh that is like fighting me to walk in faith, to move forward in faith, you know? And like even my flesh can respond with, you know, my heartbeat being really rapid or nervous, you know, and but knowing, like, if I walked out of here and I don't say this or I don't share this or do this particular thing, am I going to regret it? Yes. Like, am I going to disappoint the Lord because I didn't move in faith with that unction, you know, and then just growing in that. And realizing that, and sometimes breaking through to that, even like, I'm just going to say this, even if I am a nervous wreck, you know, I'm just going to move forward and say it. Even if I'm stumbling through praying with someone who wants to pray to receive the Lord, and I am stumbling through it, and the only thing I can remember is like, oh, okay, well, I taught VBS, and we did it, ABCs, admit you're a sinner, believe that the Lord, you know, on the name of the Lord Jesus, and confess, which means pray to, you know, repent. And then, and you know, there's, wow, I've got three sentences, you know. I mean, but the Lord uses us and our efficiency and what we do know. This is what he's going to hold us accountable for, is what we do know. Okay. And then we use that and we steward that, and then we grow from there. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Because even in that, you learn to grow and you learn to realize, hey, like my flesh got in the way. I thought it was more about me, or that was fear of man, or that was, do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so then we're getting our flesh, the works of our flesh out of the way for the works of the Spirit to come forth, you know? And for the resting of the Holy Spirit, because he's going to receive the glory. So if I don't, and faith, right? Faith is really, really important. And I know it's talked about here as well, but, you know, Paul saying, you know, and Peter saying, I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith after all he's been through, you know, everything he went through, I have kept the faith. And so without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if my life is going to be pleasing and there's going to be a reward, it's because the Lord seen what I was doing was pleasing to him. No one else can put that into words or to judge it or to even try to shred it. Only the Lord can reward that and know that internal work. That's where that fire part, you know. Knowing what you've put on the altar, knowing how you've prepared yourself before him. And then when that time comes, you do step into that or step out. You know, one time there was a, I forget what it was in the meeting, but it was something about, or it was a prayer worship night or whatever. And it was something about, some sort of encouraging word that was to be given. I forget exactly what the word was about people moving in faith though. And literally me speaking to them was literally my act of faith, which I had to say that at the end, you know, I said, and my is me actually standing here in front of you, holding the microphone, is my step of faith. This is what, and then I just, you know, I mean, it was just, all of a sudden I was talking and encouraging them, and the Lord was showing me to just express how I was expressing myself to the Lord, you know, and humble. And it was very humbling, you know, to say, this is me. It was my step of faith before you. And it actually helped bring peace to them, you know.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So, Father, we thank you, Lord. We just bless that and pray Ephesians over her, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that she wouldn't be, you know, I mean, maybe the only person that's as hard on you is you. I don't know. I mean, I can be hard on me. I'm the hardest person on me, Lord. But I pray, thank you for your grace and your favor on her life, God, and it's your desire, Lord, for her to even joyfully walk in those things as she pleases you, Father, and gloriously bring your name praise, God, where your word says to let your light so shine before men that they might glorify your Father in heaven, God, and let that be, so be it unto her according to your word, God, and Lord, we just continue to lift up even Ephesians prayer to her and for her and for every listener, and including myself, God. I want to grow in the wisdom and the knowledge of you, God, and to follow that. Even when it looks like I'm stepping up or stepping out, I'm literally following you. And we thank you, God, that you do, and we ascribe unto you all of the honor, all of the glory, and all of the majesty. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for your praying.
You're welcome, and I hope you have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, me too. You're always so encouraging.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Okay, take care. Okay, thank you. I know I have my big silver cup again. I forgot. It's metal cup with metal straw. You heard that, I apologize. But you probably did, so. Okay, caller 205-531. Good evening. Who am I speaking to?
This is Julia May from Alabama.
Oh, Julia May. Thank you. I'm a little bit tonight. I don't know why. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I have to say, I had a friend of mine. She passed today, so a little down.
I'm sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. Was that someone we have been praying for, or was this a different incident?
Yes, she was a friend of my last sister. She had fell, broke both her ankles, and she was in a wheelchair because she had a problem walking because she had a kind of muscle disorder, but her heart had got weak and her oxygen failed on. She had pneumonia. She had been in the hospital to get up, but then it went back down again. She went to the hospital, and they revived her one time today, but she didn't make it.
Oh, wow.
A friend and a classmate, a group.
Oh, wow. So does she live in your same city then, or does she live in a different state?
No, she stayed in Missouri. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I think I do recall you mentioning about your friend who broke both of her ankles. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I'm so sorry to hear that. Well, we were praying earlier about, I don't know if you were with us, for those who are needing God's comfort and who may have lost a loved one or may have had to go to the hospital just this week to visit a loved one or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, well, let me pray for you. Father, I just thank you for Julia May, God. We just come to your altar of grace, God. In Jesus' name, I lift her up before you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Okay, let me try to, here we go. Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Well, I can't find the verse, but the verse that talks about the Lord being the glory and the lifter of your head. So I've seen this before, the altar and the light shining, you know, the light shining above your head and the beams and the rays of light coming towards you and falling upon you, you know. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for just the newness of the day that you have for us, God, that is filled with hope, that is filled with mercy, God, that your attributes and your character and your virtue are constant and steadfast. Lord, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies, as you talk about in Psalm 103. God, that you crown our lives with tender mercies, God, and your loving kindness, Lord, and even her friend, God, that you crown her life as well, God, in Jesus' name. And Lord, while we don't necessarily understand everything, Father God, we do ask for your comfort and your encouragement to Julia May and to the extended family and loved ones of her friend, Lord, and even all of the classmates, Lord, and those who knew her, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God, you know, where your word says, his word says that with the same comfort you've been given to comfort others. So, Lord, I thank you that you would use Julia May, God, as a comforter to others as well, that it would be a representative of God's comfort on earth as it is in heaven, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the places that you would lead her as the Holy Spirit would be upon her, God, in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you for it, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for even just being in the right place at the right time. And, you know, even if it's just handing someone a Kleenex or whatever it might be, Father, I thank you for those expressions of comfort to know and see where others need comfort, that she can meet that need, God, and just your character and virtue to be upon that, God, and for it to be a very loving and care-filled act, God, in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, for continuing to lift her head, Lord. I thank you for just even stepping into the fullness, the full noon of day to be upon her, God, in Jesus' name, the light to fill her. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for speaking to her while she's in this light, Lord. And I thank you, God, your light dispels all darkness and shadows and doubts and unbelief, God, that they would scatter and run. Any fragments of various shadows of darkness would run at your light in Jesus' name. And I see a protection of this light coming even over your mind. And really, a lot of our battle is our mind. but I see it coming over your mind, and again, like just any bringing a greater clarity of understanding, yeah, and not necessarily that we have all the answers or we can say like a weight and measure kind of a thing, but really just this at peace with an understanding and comfort that he's giving and bringing to you, you know, and how he's growing things in you that are dispelling, again, dispelling any fragments that would try to creep in there, you know, or some people might say, like, call it like the little foxes or, you know, that spoil the vine, you know, but any of those little fragments in your mind that are, they're trying to find a place, like, to lodge in, to say, like, this is part of the picture, you know, and it's not. So I thank you, Lord. We do rebuke doubt and unbelief, God, and take authority over that in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord. We just loose the Spirit of God, Lord, and the light of your truth, Father. And we thank you that your light has come, that you have a marvelous light, and that you give the light, what does it say in John? The light of life God, we thank you for the light of life upon her mind. In Jesus' name, we thank you for renewing it, for washing it in your word, Lord, and for strengthening it by your grace, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Well, God bless you. And is there any, I hope you have a Merry Christmas, and I hope you make a wonderful pie of some sort. Are you making pie?
No.
What kind of pie are you making?
Yellow cake. I always like the yellow cake with chocolate frosting and put pecans on top.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yes, sounds very good.
And then I pray for my cousin. She just found out she got glaucoma, but she's a diabetic, and unfortunately it affected her. Can't really see. So ask a prayer for her and a lot of folks with diabetes. They have a lot of complications. Cause jump ahead, but thank God she's doing good with her. But still pray for her because that's
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that can be very dangerous. I know there's a... So, Father, we just come against diabetes, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord. We take authority over these number counts in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for her eyes, her friend. Did you say your cousin or your friend?
He's my cousin.
Her cousin's eyes, Father, in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord, we ask for clarity of vision in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for clearing that up. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God, we thank you for, again, balance in the numbers, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you concern yourself with numbers. You wrote a whole book of numbers, God. You number the stars. You number the hairs on our head. You number the angels, God. And you even say there are innumerable amounts of angels, Father God. We ask, Lord, for release of angels, God. The ones, if they don't have anything assigned to them, God, we ask that they be released for these people who have diabetes, Father God, in Jesus' name, to bring balance to their blood count and their sugar levels, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. I ask you to give them the wisdom and the strengthen them with your grace, Lord, and what they're eating and not eating, God. I pray that you would bless them, God, and even if they have to buy special foods that are more money or whatever, Lord, or medicine or whatever, Father, to balance things out, Lord, in the meantime, God, I ask for the wisdom of provision to come to them, God, that you would grant unto them favor with what they have to work with. They would work with you as well, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for the preservation of her eyesight. In Jesus' name, amen. We release that, God, in the name of Jesus. And let me just share a testimony, too. I had, a few months ago, I had, when I was, or my mother-in-law went into the nursing home, they had a checker thing there where you had to do a COVID check. Every time you go in, you had to scan the little thing on your phone, fill out the information, and then get your, do your temperature on your forehead. But because there's so many visitors there, the lady at the desk didn't do it. They had this thing on the wall, permanently affixed on the wall. And what you do is you stand in front of it, it beeps, and then you have to write, you have to put down what the temperature says actually on the instructions and everything. Well, I'm not a very tall person. And this light, this infrared thing went right in my eye. It went in my eye, the corner of my eye, and it messed my eye up, my vision. It was on the corner of my left eye, like the left corner of it, was I was seeing shadows. I kept thinking like a fly or something was like landing at, like that kind of very distracting and dark, different little, like, honestly, I kept thinking a bug was flying near me, you know? And it's very distracting. The only time that it really went away was when I really focused straight on, you know, like just straight ahead and read or either did my computer thing or whatever, you know. And so I was praying for my eye and I Googled it and they're saying, no, that can't happen, but I don't believe it because I don't know what else happened, you know. I just don't know what else could have happened. And so anyway, a word came forth. Randy gave forth a word. and I don't know if it was a Thursday night. I don't know if it was a Thursday night or not, but I was praying and I was saying, Lord, I need this to go away. Like, I need prayer for my eye. And he literally came forth and said something over a left eye. Literally, I remember him saying left eye, and that's exactly what it was. So my eye is nearly, it is nearly, but I'm saying that to share it as a testimony, because the word of the Lord came forth, and as it comes forth as a testimony, let it be repeated to your friend for healing of her eyes, that it is nearly all gone. I mean, it's nearly all gone, and I'm trusting that as the Lord brought that forth, that healing is still going to take place, and she's complete, full healing. In Jesus' name, amen. So.
Thank you, Father.
I say that. Well, the reason I say that is because as I understand it, the word testimony means to repeat a thing. So that's why I shared the testimony, so the Lord would repeat that on behalf of those that we just prayed for. Yeah, your cousin. Well, I hope you have a Merry Christmas.
Okay, you too. And I thank God just be alive and family doing well. That's enough for me.
Amen. And I'll think of you when I eat my pie. I'll think of you eating your cake. Okay. Right. Enjoy. Okay, God bless you. Hey there, 972-365.
Good evening, Deborah. This is Rhonda from Texas.
Hey, Rhonda. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks.
That's good. I wanted a prayer. I know a lot of stuff is going on, and I know they keep coming and releasing a lot of stuff about, you know, we know COVID has been here, but they keep releasing a lot of stuff, and I just want a prayer. I know you was praying earlier over families and stuff, but just pray over people's families and households and things like that, because I know we ought to take precaution, but sometimes the enemy is sending stuff and want us to receive it, and fear comes along with it. So just pray that, you know, people will be more in tune. Well, I'm not going to tell you how to pray. Lord, forgive me. But that's what I'm calling a prayer for.
Oh, no.
Because this stuff is ramping up again. But, you know, that we have prayer over it, because I know a lot of times people will feed into it and keep going, but I know we have been called to be prayer warriors and intercessors, and we can pray over things, and we can pray to stop things, and we can pray to bind things. So that's why I was calling for prayer.
Sure, absolutely. I don't mind you saying, you know, the things that you'd like to pray for, because I'm sure it's the spirit within you bringing it forth, so I don't mind at all. And I want to say, too, thank you for sharing that, too, because since we moved to this new house, well, like for a while, for maybe the first 2 months, and I know this is a long time, that's a long time not to go with a television, but in this area, we didn't know, I had no idea, but in this area, they're like innovative, if you will, and they really, well, they have cable, but they really, it's really expensive, so they want you to do like streaming TV, okay? So it took us a while to figure it out. But anyway, I said, I don't even know if we still have it figured out, but I said all that to say I very rarely watch TV because it's so different than what we were doing. It's like, it's hard. So I miss more than I used to as far as the news and being up to date on some of that stuff. So, I don't know what I'm going to do about that, but it is what it is for right now. So thank you for sharing that. So, Father, we just come into agreement, Lord, with Rhonda, Father God, and even over her state, God, and the state where, Lord, every listener that is residing, Lord, in the United States, Father, in Jesus' name, really across the globe, Father. But we pray, Lord, for our areas, Lord, as intercessors, Lord, in the land that you have us in, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, and just remembering in Samuel, I think it is, where it says that you were moved to pray and for the land, God. And I thank you, Father God, there were things, and even reading today or yesterday about Deborah and after that battle with Barak and everything that took place with the Canaanites, God, and how they had the victory, Lord, and sang the song, God, after the victory, Lord, that that it says there was like peace, undisturbed. The land was undisturbed for 40 years, God. So there really is something, Lord, when we go through a battle and we set things in order and they take place with your spirit in your hands, God. So we pick up the sword of the spirit and we pray, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord. And we bind the enemy, Lord, coercing his people with fear, Lord, and with intimidation, Lord, to that they should be smaller, that they should be removed, that they should be pushed back. In Jesus' name, Lord, just like the Canaanites, Lord, coming against them, trying to intimidate them and slow them down and to back them up, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for the people of faith, Lord, would pray in their homes, pray in their cities, in their neighborhoods, Lord, and over their county, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would lift this off of us, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We just bind this fear, Lord, Lord, the media fear, God, the just to, I don't know if it's amping things up, Lord, but any controlling spirits, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for sending your son during this time, Lord, and it, truly it was a miracle where your light came crashing through the darkness, God, and it says that Jesus was manifested to do away with the works of the devil, God, and we thank you, Lord, that the devil is a defeated foe, Father, in Jesus' name. We pray for ourselves. We pray for our family, Lord. We do not want to be wise in our own eyes, as it says in Proverbs, Lord, because there's not good results that come with that, Lord. We want to trust you and rely on you and be dependent upon you, but we're not going to be wise in our own eyes, Lord, that we pray and ask of you, Father, and we thank you, Lord, that you preserve us and preserve our faith, Lord, and even physically, Lord, we pray for our children and our children's children and our children's children's children in Jesus' name, and we pray for those in our neighborhood, Lord, and that we could speak peace, Lord, to those around us, Father, in Jesus' name, and we thank you, Lord, for guiding us, Lord, and for teaching us, for your wisdom, and your direction to be upon us, Lord, and our families, Father, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father God, if anyone's getting caught up and like pulled in and caught up into this fear, into this thing to surround them and to close them down, in Jesus' name, we break that oppression and depression off of them, God. Anything that's opposing that media fear that is opposing the work of the Holy Spirit, we break it now in Jesus' name. We break that now. We break that voice off in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we thank you, Father God, that you would give your people of hope a new picture, God, of faith, Lord, and of coming forth, God, and stepping up. God, stepping up, Father God, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the fire of God. Lord, we thank you for the places of faith that the enemy cannot touch, that nobody can touch our faith, Father God, no matter how clever, deceitful, or crafty they are. We renounce that work in the name of Jesus right now, God, and we thank you for manifestations of truth to come forth. We thank you for your light that is circumspect, God, to expose every wrong, deceitful heart and wrong way in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that the word of God, give us, Lord, as we pray, and Rhonda continues to pray for her area and her surrounding area, Father, that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, going forth, dividing bone and marrow and joints, Father God, and thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what the word says, thoughts and intents of the heart. So we thank you, Father God, that you would we would properly discern, God, discerning your word and your truth, God, properly, Father God, and sending forth the word of the Lord and the sword of the Spirit to discern hearts and thoughts of people in the media and the workplace, Father, in every heightened place, God, of leadership, In Jesus' name. Yes. And we thank you, God, for perfecting our prayers as well, Lord. In Jesus' name. We thank you,
Jesus,
Lord.
Name.
Let it be done according to your word, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, in Jesus' name. Yes, and I'm also reminded of Job 38 and 12. It says, "Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days and caused the day spring to know his place, that it might take a hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it?" So that's one thing, you know, that we have to just hold on to is God's word during this time, because a lot of things are coming to this earth, and the word has already said that it was going to, you know, come, and scripture is going to be fulfilled. But as, you know, born-again believers, we're just not supposed to bow down with the world. And, you know, because I see a lot of ridicule and hear a lot of ridicule today because of people standing on their faith. And I'm like, I'd be like, okay, laugh now, cry later. But, you know, whenever I see someone standing on their faith, I just encourage them to keep, you know, hold on to the profession of their faith, because at the end of the day, you know, the enemy going to make us look like something wrong with us, but we already know what the word says, because Jesus has already won this battle. The enemy is already defeated, so we know Jesus will be coming back for his people. So he don't have to come back and fight the enemy, because he already defeated the enemy. So that we will continue to stay encouraged. And like I said, it's a lot of things that we're dealing with also is just, you know, to see how strong our faith is. Are we going to waver, or are we going to become lukewarm, or are we going to, you know, turn around and go the opposite way? Because what I see, and I'm sure others can attest to this, I see a lot of people that, you know, have been in church and deciding to go and follow other things and all this other stuff that we know is no truth to it. So that's why it's important that regardless of what, you know, people are saying, and even though sometimes I might watch the news, I don't even entertain it. I just, when they say ignorant stuff, I just pray against it, or I just pray, Lord, let thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and, you know, keep going. But I thank you for praying tonight, and I just pray, you know, the Lord will continue to bless and protect you and your husband, and especially your heart, knowing that we have to go through these holidays with loved ones we just lost, you know, recently, and everybody else that may be on listening that have lost loved ones, you know, this year or last year. We just pray God's grace and his protection and his mercy, his love and joy, and his peace will be upon our hearts during these holidays, in Jesus' name.
Amen, in Jesus' name, yeah, amen. Yes, and you just reminded me that we need to pray for those who are drifting away. I think because of COVID and those who didn't go to church or stay or however, you know, but like they're slowly, because when we drift away, sometimes we don't see that until we're too far out how far we've actually drifted, you know. So, I mean, not you and me, but I'm talking about, like, as an example, like if you're on a raft at the beach and then you realize, oh, wow, like that's pulled me out further than I realized. Like, I really have to keep an eye on how far I'm drifting, you know? And I think it's true, too, for some people are going to wake up and realize, oh, wow, I drifted away. So I think we just need to start to draw them back to the word of God and to anyways, but I do see that that's one thing. And then, my sister sent me an unexpected gift today, and it was a little poem that my mom had, I guess, inside her computer cabinet. And my sister said that my sister went back in July, and she said she'd seen it there for years, but never really looked at it. It was one of the last things she pulled out. And it's this poem that my mom had kept, which is interesting enough, about it's like almost written from a loved one who's actually in heaven with Jesus. And they're saying, you want me to go get it? I can read it to you. I wasn't expecting that. If you want to hold, can you hold on 1 second?
Yes, ma'am. That's fine. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And then I'll just go ahead and end the program like that. But I'll just take you with me as I walk in this other room here. But I just thought, oh, that was so interesting. And I know my mom really loved Christmas holidays. Anyway, she just, my sister sent me the sweetest thing. So, okay. Let me take this back over there and read it. Okay. It says, Merry Christmas from Heaven. So it's just Emma. And thank you for saying that, because I didn't even realize this when Julia May was, I forgot all about this until you said that. Okay, so I'm going to move this on the program with this poem here. It says, I still hear the songs. I still see the lights. I still feel your love on a cold, wintry night. I still share your hopes and all your cares. I'll even remind you to please say your prayers. I just want to tell you, you still make me proud. You stand head and shoulders above all the crowd. Keep trying each moment to stay in his grace. I came here before you to help set your place. You don't have to be perfect all the time. He forgives you the slip if you continue the climb. To my family and friends, please be thankful today. I'm still close beside you in a new special way. I love you all dearly. Now don't shed a tear, because I'm spending my Christmas with Jesus this year.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful, I thought that was really beautiful. Yeah, I thought that was really sweet, and for her to give that to all of us, and that my mom even had that. That was really, anyway, that was special. It was a gift. So thank you so much for calling, and I hope you have a comforted and blessed Christmas yourself.
Yes, ma'am. You do as well. God bless you, and thank you.
God bless you. Thank you, too. Okay, well, thank you, everyone, for joining us, and God bless you, and peace of God and grace of God be with you and your spirit. Merry Christmas.